Anything in particular you want to talk about today?
I think one of the things that may be on people's mind this week is the way in which, in the wake of the Supreme Court decision, various states are moving to redistrict their congressional districts, even when primaries are being held, when people in some cases have actively voted. So that it may be on some people's minds. Right after it happened, there was a lot of discussion about what this means in terms of the Voting Rights Act, and especially in the wake of the revelation that some of the information that actually appeared in Justice Alito's opinion was incorrect information about...
What a shock.
Yeah, having been provided by one side in the court case.
I mean, essentially, doesn't it read the Civil Rights Act, Voting Rights Acts out of existence?
I think it does. I think it basically says that in no way should race ever be considered at the federal level for anything, and that really does ignore the fact that the Voting Rights Act was not passed for no reason. You know, there were really good reasons, and it was reauthorized right up until the 2013 decision that said that you couldn't have preclearance anymore for states that had been in the habit of discriminating against voters. So I think we are definitely in basically a post-Voting Rights Act period. And when people can't really express their political opinions or their political positions by voting, I'm not sure what is expected that they will do.
And I know that Texas already, I looked at Texas, I forget why, in a little more detail a few months ago, and Texas has like, I don't know, 24 representatives in Congress, and they're about 48% Democratic or 45% or 40% Democratic, and something like 80% of their representatives are Republican because of this gerrymandering. And now you're going to make it worse?
Yeah. So that's kind of depressing as we move into
It could completely neutralize the fact that 70% of the people now think Donald Trump is a disaster, you know, on the economy and several other issues, everything except the borders. He's still got some support there, although I think it's minority. But that could be completely neutralized in the voting, because you know they've set up these districts where all the Democrats are in one district, so they get to vote for a for their Democratic, and then all the Republicans are spread out with big majorities in the others. Not good.
No.
Disastrous. And there's no Supreme Court to appeal to.
No, not on this question. Yeah, that's definitely partisan capture there.
I want to talk a little about the county assessor race that we were going to discuss. Because I know they have a forum tonight somewhere, and I'm told that this will come up but has not been discussed in the news yet. But the fact is that if Shannon Reynolds were to win, he probably could not legally serve as assessor. And the reason is that our Constitution basically says if you have served 2 4-year terms in county commission or another county officer, you can't go for a third, even if it's consecutive, even if it's a different position. You have to sit out for 2 years. and who, the folks backing Shannon and Shannon, I don't know exactly what their understanding of all this was, when he sought the nomination, when he jumped into the primary. But the fact is, his resignation just toward the end of his seventh year doesn't cut it legally. It doesn't mean he didn't sit out for 2 years. And you might say, well, it says served two four-year terms. And if you didn't serve the entire second one, then that shouldn't count against you, which is not the way I would read the language of the statute, but it's reasonable to say. I mean, I would say if they wanted to say full terms, they know the word full or complete, and they could have put it in there, and they didn't. On the other hand, you could argue for Shannon that they didn't specify that somebody who resigned toward the end of his term was covered by this. Problem is, the New Mexico Supreme Court looked at that in 1984 in a case called Stevens versus Myers, I think. And they came out saying, hey, no way. The fact that you walk out before the end of your term doesn't make any difference. If it did, you could walk out with 10 minutes to go in your term and then run. And, that can't happen. The Supreme Court said it would make a mockery of what the framers of the Constitution intended when they put that provision in there. So that's pretty strong. And essentially, if it goes to any lower court, if somebody challenges Shannon, if he wins and somebody challenges that, says no, he can't legally serve, the odds are, well, in a lower court, they win pretty automatically because the lower court has to follow the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court decision. If it's appealed to the Supreme Court, he has maybe a 20% chance of getting them to change their mind. But they're most likely to rule the way they did in 1984 without some special new thing that I don't think he's going to have to offer them.
Well, so in the meantime, like let's say he were to be elected, would the position still be conducted by the current assessor? Would it remain open and there just be an acting assessor? Like how would that even work?
I don't really know for sure, except I think the county commission gets to appoint.
Ah, I see.
On the other hand, I don't know what if he gets knocked out after if he wins the primary and then somebody brings this to the courts and he gets knocked off the ballot. I mean, he can't really get knocked off the ballot because he has the right to run.
Right.
He just doesn't have the right to serve. But if somebody managed to knock him off the ballot on the theory that it's foolish for him to be running when he I looked at this in another case a couple of years ago in a more northern county in New Mexico, and I don't think they can throw him off the ballot. But I'm no election law expert. I'm no expert on anything. Not even an active lawyer anymore. But it's a problem.
I kind of wish that I had heard the show in which he explained why he was running to begin with. 'Cause
I mean, I think the conventional explanation is that around the courthouse and in the county commission, there is a lot of unhappiness with the incumbent. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a strong feeling among various people, including Shannon, including others who are supporting him, that there had to be change. How they assessed the legal problem, I don't know.
What are the qualifications that somebody usually has who runs for assessor?
I don't think there is a usual. Hmm. I mean, it's interesting because Mr. Reyes has the most actual experience doing, you know, appraising houses and the longest period in the office. Gina Ortega was a bakery owner. Yeah, you hadn't known that, huh?
No.
I think it might be Fiesta Bakery, but a bakery, I think, on Valley Drive. She and her husband had the bakery. And then she ran for mayor, was in here one time among the 11 candidates for mayor of City of Las Cruces. Then she ran, I think, for treasurer. And then and I read somewhere she tried a couple other elective ventures earlier. But she ran for assessor, and I frankly thought, oh, she just runs for everything. But she won, and in the discussion with Shannon, she sounded pretty good. She knows, you know, she and some folks around the county say she learned well. You know, she applied herself and learned. I mean, one county official told me she's really, you know, she's learned her stuff. And it's been impressive. I didn't think she would, but she's learned what she needs to know. And the county commission has kind of undermined her by not giving her money for one thing she needs to do. Another official said kind of the opposite and said she hasn't learned as much as she sounds like she learned, and she doesn't listen to people, which is a bad combination. I don't know, obviously.
It's really fascinating to me.
On the other hand, Reyes, by the way, is on the record for having created a bad office environment for women.
Yeah, I was reading that. Yeah. Lots and lots of complaints between 2016 and 2019.
And part of it's sustained by, oddly enough, the investigator working for the assessor's office was our former first gentleman, Chuck Frankel.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. He went to the assessor's office next, but he resigned, I think, when Ortega came in. You know, he left with the assessor who was leaving. I think it was Leticia Benavides.
Well, one thing that can be said for New Mexico is that it really does seem to be a government on the local level or on the state level in which people who are way more like of humble background have an opportunity to serve, have an opportunity to learn on the job. I come from New Jersey, and you know, everybody that runs for something is going to be like a lawyer or an accountant or something like that.
You know why lawyers run for so many? You know why so many lawyers run for office? Traditionally, it's less so now, but they used to always do it because until I want to say 1989, I could be off by 5 or 10 years. Until 1989, when the Supreme Court said, no, this violates free speech rights, lawyers were prohibited in all states from advertising. So you couldn't push your, you couldn't go around saying, I'm Joe Doakes, and I just opened my law office on Spruce Street, and I went to Yale, and I'll do a great job. No advertising. It was considered unethical by the bar and therefore was illegal until a case involving Virginia. So lawyers, unable to advertise, ran for office, so they had an excuse to go to people's house and say, you know, I'm Joe Doakes and I'll be a great representative because I'm a lawyer and I do great work down on Spruce Street. And if you need a will drawn up, let me know.
I had no idea. That is fascinating.
Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, clearly there is no there's no legislation against it now because every time you turn on the TV, they're advertising some lawyers.
I know. I've been thinking about approaching one of those firms to be an underwriter for. So if any lawyers are listening who advertise around here, you can't advertise on our station, but you can get mentioned as a wonderful underwriter. You know, we can't tell people to go on down to Spruce Street to Joe Doak's law office, but we can say we're sure grateful for your support, and we will be. So, so life is crazy, and I think that assessor's race is an odd situation. So is the sheriff's race in different ways that I won't get into right now. So I got a question for you.
Sure.
Are you related to Leon Trotsky?
You know what's funny? Okay, so Leon Trotsky, born Lev Davidovich Bronstein. My grandmother used to, in her old age, say that our name was originally Trotsky, but we changed it to Bronstein in Ellis Island.
That's cute.
Yeah. No, there's no relation, even though we're both from, like, Belarus. Because we're not
I thought he was from southern Ukraine.
Oh, okay. Well, we're not from the same city or town or anything like that.
Okay.
But,
or region.
Right, exactly.
All right. I just wondered. I hadn't known until recently that was his birth name.
Yeah, he's a famous Bronstein, and then there's a famous chess-playing Bronstein. There was a chess master.
Yeah, I think I heard of him at some point. Do want to say that our recent former president, Barack Obama, was stumping in Texas for James Tallarico a day or two ago. In Austin, they went to some taco shop right near the university, where people were surprised and delighted to see the former president coming to their table and asking if...
Ooh, there's a caller.
Oh, we have a phone call, so I'll stop babbling. Good morning. Oops.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, speak up.
Hi, Peter. This is Gina Eugenia Montoya Ortega, the current assessor. How are you?
I'm good.
I just wanted to let you know I was listening. Appreciate that you still are, you know, let people know that we were supposed to be on. And I just wanted to know if I can actually comment on some of the, you know, how you were saying that, you know, people in the county building, you know, have objected that I've done whatever I shouldn't do. I would like the opportunity to have those people address me publicly so that I can answer, you know, the people that said, yeah. She's done a horrible job. Well, let's meet one-on-one in front of you on the radio address those issues, because that is not true. I wish that you were able to talk to some of my staff in my office. Unfortunately, they're afraid because of what happened when I ran the last time. Some of them were split between Ruben and Daniel, and it became really, really ugly because both of them were on a revenge mission. So I've asked them to, you know, remain neutral. You know, they don't have to publicly address or say that they're supporting me or not. You know, that's their privacy. That's their, you know, they can support who they want. If it's not me, I respect that. As every other voter in Doniana County, you choose to support Ruben, you choose to support Shannon, that's your choice. I have worked very, very hard in the assessor's office with my current staff. I don't call them my staff. They are my coworkers. Yep. We go to work very hard.
Okay. Well,
So I just think it would be really nice, those people that had those not so nice things to, you know, let's talk about it openly.
And if it were a criminal trial, you'd be entitled to that. On the other hand, public figures don't always get that because basically people will often not want to speak publicly for political reasons or for reasons they fear reprisal. So you don't get that. You get journalists in the middle trying to study it carefully and be as fair as they can. I've been told, for example, that a couple of your employees left and went to another office in the county building. Is that true?
Of course, you always have people that are transferring in and out. Likewise, I've had several people from other departments transfer into my office. So that's just, they usually move for promotions or whatever different reasons. So yeah, of course.
How many have transferred into your office in the last couple of years?
Two of them. One of them. Recently, yeah. think it's one. I can't think. Sorry, right off the top of my head. But no, for sure, at least one did come from a different department.
Okay.
Well, so that's common practice.
Well,
you know, you want to promote up.
Thank you for calling in. I kind of have to cut this off because our featured guest has arrived, and I want to start talking with him because we've been waiting for months, almost a year, to get to talk to him, the president of the New Mexico State University. So we'll talk to you further, and I know that all this will come up at the forum. Where's the forum tonight?
The forum tonight's at the Doniana Branch Community College East Mesa campus.
Okay. Well, thank you.
No, thank you, Peter. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care.